Our epistle lesson this morning, from which the sermon will derive, is from Ephesians 6. This is the last in the series of sermons on Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats of me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware of his disciples, that they were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and the ones that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have all the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.' And this is the word of the Lord."
Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Lord God, may those things said that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from verses 12 and 13. 13 is on the cover of your bulletins. Our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is my grandfather James's cane. When he passed, I was given the cane as a keepsake and a memory and memento of him. It was purchased for him late in life. He said it was in order to keep dogs away from him when he went on his walks, but I suspect that given his age and other conditions, it was more to help him keep steady and keep his balance lest he fall. In Venice, Florida, a few years ago, Buckmaster's mother was walking home with a cane when she was attacked by a mugger. The mugger knocked her to the ground and stole her purse. She was briefly hospitalized due to her injuries. Buckmaster, who is a martial arts expert, decided that he was going to go to her retirement village in Venice, and he was going to teach the residents there how to use their canes and their walkers to defend and protect themselves. One of the things about criminals, muggers, robbers, they do not want to get caught, nor do they wish to be injured. They will always try to find the people who are most vulnerable. And if you look on YouTube, you will see this group of senior citizens using their canes and walkers to whack people on the knee or over the head or to give them a good poke in the stomach or the chest to discourage the attackers. And if you listen to them being interviewed, they say that they have never felt so empowered. They are no longer afraid to walk by themselves, that they feel as if there is something that they can do. They are no longer vulnerable. They had this unmistakable air of confidence. In our epistle lesson this morning, the writer of Ephesians concluded his letter by telling the reader that we are battling great forces of evil in this world. Years ago, the Scottish poet and writer Robert Louis Stevenson wrote in his diary, "You know the Caledonian Railway in Edinburgh? One cold east windy morning, I met Satan there." Now, he never goes on to explain who this Satan was or how Satan manifested himself. We do not know what happened at that railway in Edinburgh, but I believe that all of us have some sense about what Stevenson was talking about. I believe that all of us have at one time or another experienced that icy touch of evil that chills the bones, sends a shiver down your spine, and makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. A personification of evil is not central to biblical understanding. As a matter of fact, the whole idea about Satan, the Satan, comes from the time of Babylonian exile. It is a Persian influence that came into the Old Testament. But that is not to say that evil is not real. People are not evil. But evil causes people to do evil things. Evil is like this hypnotic force that comes over people and nations. It is like a nebulous cloud that descends upon people and nations, blanketing and infecting them. Evil appears to our lesser angels. The most Christian nation in Europe in the 1930s was Germany. And yet the veil of evil fell over the land as the Nazi Party came into power and ultimately the Holocaust was enacted. Evil is like that tempter in the garden, one of the creatures created by God. The tempter who comes into the garden and tells Eve that if she ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree of life, she would not die, but that she would become wise like God. Evil plays upon our fears and our securities. It tells us that we are weak, that we are helpless, that we are defenseless, when we are really strong and powerful. It tells us that we are vulnerable. And in the words of those great theologians, the Berenstain Bears, it tells us, you aren't such a much. Evil sows the seeds of gossip within communities. And gossip is one of the major sins that the New Testament epistles focus upon. Evil feeds red meat to our various prejudices. After all, you may remember that in order to have prejudice, you have to be very carefully taught. In the words of the Song of South Pacific, you've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You have to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people that your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. Evil puts the contact lenses that are green, the green eyes of jealousy, within our heads. And it heats up the passions of our heart to irrational hatred and fear. And from this fertile soil, evil gives rise to feelings of privilege and systematic discrimination and feelings of self-justification. And as if we have been wronged, evil dehumanizes the other person and it objectifies individuals. It causes such things in this world as crushing poverty and stupid famine. Most people who experience famine do it as an act of war because food has been withheld, because since the 1960s, more than enough food has been produced in this world to feed all of us. And evil causes pride, senseless shootings within our cities. The apostle was right. The enemies that we are fighting in this world are not enemies of flesh and blood. No, they are the cosmic powers of darkness, for there is a great spiritual warfare going on. It is the spiritual forces that battle with those in heavenly places. And the writer goes on to say that in the face of evil in this great battle, we are the foot soldiers. We are to be dressed for battle. We are to put on the defensive armor of truth and righteousness and proclaim the gospel of peace everywhere, every place, all the time. We are to lift up the shield of faith, because faith, as you may recall, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that have yet to be seen. And most of all, our weapon is to be prayer. We are to be constant in our prayer. We are to pray to be alert. We are to pray for each other. We are to pray to be brave. We are to pray to take a stand. We are to pray to say no. We are to pray to stand with the marginalized, the persecuted, the misunderstood, the least, the last, the forgotten, and the lonely. And do you know why we do this? Because in our baptism we have been drafted by God. We have been baptized to be the ambassadors of God's kingdom in this world, heralders of that kingdom on earth, who defiantly and boldly proclaim against all of the odds the gospel of the one who is called the light of the world. And we do this not so that people will think that we are such a much or that we are so great. We do this for one reason and one reason only, so that God may be glorified now and forever. To God be the glory. Amen.